Blog Talk Radio.
Notorious hit it on the head. Robbie will retire Joshua. Eric will say he doesn't need to see a rematch. All the greatest hits from ringside. You ready? Yeah. That's exactly what I'm going to say, too.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great, great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about Canelo and Caleb Plant getting to a fist fight or a slap fight at their press conference. And we'll have all the details of that. Manny Pacquiao calls it a day. But first, we get started with DAZN. Anthony Joshua versus Alexander Usyk for the WBA, the WBO, and the IBF titles. Notorious has his own predictions on the screen, as you can see. How about that? And I'd say that's pretty solid prediction right there. Alexander Usyk wins a unanimous decision over Anthony Joshua by the scores of 117-112, 116-112, and 115-113. I had it 117-111 for Usyk. I thought Usyk did a great job. I thought he outboxed him. I thought he outmoved him. Usyk came out and did what he needed to do, and that was land a power shot early. Something to get Joshua's attention, because I think all of us were curious, especially after watching that Chisora fight, you know, does he have anything to really get somebody, get a heavyweight's attention? Can he hit you, and can he get your attention? Yeah, well, he got his attention in the first round. Joshua moved right into a left hand, and Usyk, I mean, just caved him with that left hand. Now, it didn't hurt him. He wasn't stunned. It didn't hurt him, but it was a solid shot that let him know, hey, I can hit too. I've got a heavyweight punch. And that, for me, was a big moment in the fight just in the first round. The footwork and the movement was really bothering Joshua. Joshua looked confused in there at times, man. Usyk, you got a man. Usyk is a clever boxer. He's one of the best boxers out. It's just one of those things, man. It's going to be tough to outbox him. But having the bigger Joshua, I think I figured anyway that Joshua would try to move to crowd him, to try to get him to bully him, to try to tire this guy out, try to put some shots in, try to put some shots on him. I did notice that Joshua was going to the body at times, but Usyk was going there a little bit more. The one thing, this is funny because I talked to Beeb about it later, and he says, yeah, we mentioned this all through the Beeb's fight cast yesterday. The one thing I noticed was Joshua's footwork. His foot was always on the inside of Usyk's. And I don't know, that's a big no-no. I don't know why his corner didn't tell him that, and I don't know if his corner did tell him that. I don't know if they gave him any of that instruction. That was a big reason that he lost that fight yesterday. A big, big reason was that footwork. His footwork was just off, you know. And then you're going against Usyk, a guy who knows how to box, who knows this like the back of his hand. And it's just, you know, for Anthony Joshua yesterday, he just had a tough outing. Give credit to Usyk, though, man. We knew he was a better boxer, but he really executed. Anthony Joshua, bigger, stronger fighter. He might even be faster than him. You know, and Usyk just threw all that stuff to the wayside, man. One of the other things I didn't like about Anthony Joshua, and I remember texting Beeb this before the fight, there was a lot of smiling when he came out, a lot of shaking hands, mugging to the crowd. Usyk came out straight-faced, man, that guy was all business. He was warmed up, straight-faced, all business. That's how I like to see my guy come in, all right? I don't like to see the waving to the crowd. I don't like to see you know, tapping hands with people and stuff like that, smiling like you're going to a dance or something like that. This is a fight, man. They had AJ stand out with that, which was pretty cool, where they had the big fires of the initials AJ out there, and he's standing in the middle, and he's smiling and taking pictures and everything like that. But I don't know, man. Not good. Not the way I want my guy to come out, man. 66,000 people there yesterday in Tottenham Stadium. 66,000. Nobody in America can draw that kind of crowd. Nobody.
Maybe Canelo.
Maybe.
Yeah, Canelo did what, 70 in the 70 in the Cowboy Stadium?
Did he do 70?
Close to it, yeah. Canelo can do it. I think Canelo can do it.
But you know what? And Canelo could definitely do it in Mexico. You know, I mean, he definitely could do it in Mexico.
I think he could do it like in Vegas. Like, I think he could sell out Raiders Stadium.
You think he could sell out Raiders? How many people does that hold?
I
want to say about 80.
About 80, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Put him in there with the right guy. Him and Benavidez, I think, would do that.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one for crowd. Yeah, that's a great one, man. After the fight, Anthony Joshua said there'll definitely be a rematch. It's tough because now that I see, he said he did 75,000 in Cowboy Stadium, Canelo did. So with the exception of Canelo, nobody's selling out that kind of space. Nobody.
Yeah.
Two people in the world.
I agree.
Selling out that kind of, it's insane.
Yeah. This is being made about what Joshua didn't do, not about what Usyk did do.
Right.
Now, the thing with Usyk was he was throwing a very, very pesky jab, and he wasn't looking to land it with authority. In the beginning, he was just looking to touch Joshua, get Joshua to react to it, to parry it. And he would throw it in different rhythms. Sometimes he'd be like, he'd throw it twice. Other times he'd throw it three times. And each time he threw it, Joshua just kept touching. So while Joshua was occupied at parrying that jab, took his attention away from the left hand. And also, as we both mentioned, the left, the left foot of Joshua's was inside, Usyk's right foot. So both, Usyk's lead foot was on the outside. So he was able to really line that left hand up perfectly. And by doing that, Joshua was not in position to punch because Usyk's head was off center line, but he was in perfect, punching range and angle to throw the left hand in there. So as Joshua kept touching the left hand, Usyk, he couldn't figure out when, he couldn't figure out when that left hand was going to come down the pike. So he just kept pecking with the jab, and then Usyk would just shoot the left hand down the pike, and then he was shooting it to the body. And Usyk just kept changing up the rhythm. Sometimes he would move to his right, but very subtly, not too far and not too far off and too far out of range. He would just move just enough to get himself out of Joshua's punching range, but keep himself close enough where he could transition right back into offense. And he was just frustrating Joshua all night. He was going to the body. He was throwing the right hook. So Joshua made some mistakes. But no matter what happened, he left Joshua guessing the whole night. And Joshua was frustrated. Joshua had a look of bewilderment on his face, like he couldn't figure Usyk out. And even me watching what Usyk was doing, I was saying to myself, what's this guy going to do next? Because I usually can watch a fight and kind of see what a guy's doing. But even by watching what Usyk was doing last night, like, he had me guessing what was coming next because he kept changing up the look. So then as the fight went on, Usyk started snapping the jab. He stopped using it as a throwaway punch, and, he gave Joshua a different look. Like, he started snapping the jab, and then he was coming over the top with the right hook and then going downstairs with the left hand. So he just kept changing it up. And people talked about the movement, but Usyk did not do a lot of movement. He did subtle movement just enough, like I said, to get him out of Joshua's punching range and get him off center line and just enough where he could create the punching angles for his own offense. So he fought a masterful fight, and then people saying, well, why did Joshua try to box? Why didn't he just go in there and just try to steamroll and then get more physical? But again, when Joshua does do that, he tends to gas out, right? So Joshua fights now, to me, like a guy who's trying to conserve energy, fights like a guy who doesn't have confidence in himself, right? And there's fights where Joshua does get into these firefights, and then people will be like, well, he should have boxed. And then when he boxes, people say, oh, well, he should have just went at him. So
everybody
which one
does,
is it?
Yeah.
Should he be the boxer or should he be the killer? Here's the problem with both scenarios. Okay? Not a good inside fighter, right? And he's very inconsistent with his jab. Sometimes he's even lazy with his jab. He just paws it. He throws his jab like Shane Mosley. Remember, like Floyd Mayweather would say, Shane Mosley has that little tic-tac jab. Joshua has a tic-tac jab too. He's not consistent with it. He doesn't snap it out there and he paws with it. And when he brings it back, he brings it back slow and down to his hip, right? So he has some defensive issues, right? He's got some liabilities. But here's the problem. If he does step on the gas, right, and fights a faster-paced fight, what happens? He tires out. So I think if he picked up the pace, right, he did pick up the pace in 5 and 6, but Usyk was still there, and every time he landed a shot on Usyk, Usyk punched right back. So then he started saying, well, you know what? If I'm aggressive, I still can't stop with what's coming at me. I'm still having problems stopping with what's coming at me. So no matter what he did, I don't think he had an answer for what Usyk was doing because Usyk, like I said, kept changing it up. So if he does step on the gas and tries to go at Usyk, tries to bomb him out of there, he runs the risk of fading and getting tired and punching himself out because Usyk could have went all night. Usyk could have done 20 rounds. Joshua can't. So, you know, if he decides to go into the rematch and be more aggressive, he does it at his own peril because, once again, he almost got knocked out doing that against Klitschko. But he was just lucky that Klitschko had less in the tank than he did because you had an older Klitschko in there who was also fighting on borrowed time because he was tired. He was gassed out, right? But if he fights Usyk again and Usyk pushes that pace again and then Joshua tries to keep up with that pace or he tries to, you know, be more aggressive, he's going to fizzle out and he's going to get outpunched. If he may get knocked out in the rematch. He almost got knocked out in the 12th round.
He was hurt in that 12th round, and I don't even know that he was hurt so much as he was out of gas. And that was a thing, man. Let me ask you, B, because I'm interested in this too. When he fought Andy Ruiz for the second time, okay, he did great adjustments, and he started using that jab, and he boxed a lot more using that jab. He's had a bigger reach than Usyk. Why wasn't the jab last night in his game plan?
Because he kept having to use that lead hand to parry Usyk's jab.
Gotcha.
This is what he should have done. And again, I'm not being Monday morning quarterback, but I'll tell you what, this is what I would have been telling them in the corner, right? I was on the Box Voice this morning, and I'm going to repeat some of the things I said on there. So I hope, you know, people watch it there, they don't, you know, this will sound redundant. But do you remember Lennox Lewis when he went to Emmanuel Stewart, right? He even talked about it in interviews where he would, and I talk about this all the time. He brought his backhand, and he put it right here, right in front of his chin, and then he kept his lead hand out farther, right. Mm-hmm. So now this jab has less distance to travel, right?
Yeah.
And you could be used better for a rangefinder to line up the right hand. And while you're jabbing, you got your hand here in front of your face, so when you're jabbing, you can catch the counter jab. So Joshua had those like that earmuff style, right? And he was wide open down the middle. He needed to make an adjustment with his hand positioning. I would have told him, why don't you bring that right hand closer to the front of your face in the center of your, you know, of your body instead of keeping it out there, right? And then I would have told him, keep that left hand out, you know, your left hand out a little further, right? And as soon as you parry the jab, parry it and come over the top. So you see what Floyd Mayweather would fight southpaws? He would tap, the, you know, he wouldn't do an excessive amount of movement to parry the jab. He would just tap it, just catch it. As soon as you catch it, turn the hand down, and then just jab right over the top of it. Joshua just kept pat, and he was letting Usyk be like a snake charmer in there, lulling him to sleep with that jab. So what he should have done was he should have kept his left hand out farther, right? And he should have parried it. And after he parried it, he should have came over the top with his own jab. instead of just sitting there laying back, parrying it. He allowed Usyk to dictate the pace of this fight, and he had to make some adjustments. So yeah, you know, you need to parry that jab and come over the top with your own jab instead of just catching that jab and waiting for him to stop, you know? And he was trying to be too perfect. You notice Usyk wasn't trying to be perfect. He was just touching, trying to create openings. Joshua was trying to land every punch perfectly. He was overthinking. And then he became very hesitant because he was trying to get, you know, trying to get a rhythm on Usyk's jab. And instead of, like I said, as soon as you make contact with parrying it, you need to come over the top with yours. Don't wait for him to stop. Don't guess and say and see, well, how many jabs is he going to throw, and I'm going to wait for him to stop, then I'm going to jump in with my shots. You can't wait on a guy like Usyk. You can't wait on a guy like Usyk. So, yeah, he had to step in with his jab, and he needed to step in hard with his jab, you know? Turn it over. Don't just paw with it. He was trying too hard to set up the right-hand lead instead of just, you know, touching him and trying to push him back, knock him off balance first, then just shoot the right hand. Don't sit there and wait for him to, you know, don't think you're going to parry his jab and then try to sneak the right hand down there, because he couldn't get the right hand off because Usyk was sneaking the left hand down the pipe every time. So he was hesitant to throw the right hand. So what you needed to do was you needed to push Usyk back, knock him off balance a little bit. You needed to throw an authoritative jab to knock Usyk off his rhythm, right? And also you had to change your foot positioning. You couldn't let that guy hang on the outside of your left shoulder. You needed to keep him in front of you. Now, here's another thing, another great thing you could do if you have that lead hand out in front of you. What you could do is, you know, you parry the jab, you come over the top, but also you can use that lead hand to put it on Usyk's shoulder and push him into the center. Or you throw the jab and throw a hook and push him into the center. Don't allow him to hang on the outside outside of your left shoulder like that. Push him back in the center with that lead hand as well. So, you know, you're out there and you got that lead hand out there far, you're throwing the jab, and then give him a little, you know, jab him and then grab him and just like give him a little nudge with the shoulder and push him toward the center, and then you shoot the right hand in there. He had to maneuver Usyk around because you had to knock him off balance to stop him from moving, right, and force him to reset his feet, number one, and also you needed to force him back in the center. Any way you could, force him back in the center, whether it be by, you know, directing him back there, by, you know, taking your lead hand and pushing him there, or throwing the hook there, or going hooking to the body and pushing him back into the center, then you set him up with the right hand. But he was just trying to be too basic. Like he thought he was going to just wait and throw a right hand counter, and then the right hand counter wasn't there for him because every time he tried to set up for that right hand, Usyk's left hand was coming over the top, and he couldn't get that right hand counter going.
No. And, you know, I don't know. I didn't hear, you know, we had a lot of stuff going on yesterday as I'm watching the fight, but I didn't hear what his corner was telling him. Did they mention the footwork? Did they mention any of this?
No. All McCracken said was, you need to step in and throw the 1-2. You need to throw the 1-2.
You know, and
if
he couldn't hit Usyk in the head, I mean, at least throw at his chest. I mean, like they used to do with Roy Jones. I mean,
what I would have said is, don't wait. As soon as you parry the jab, come over the top with your own jab.
Yes.
He's stepping to his right. Don't let him keep that foot on the outside of yours. When he tries to move to his right, force him back into the center.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Force him back to the center. Lock up his lead arm with your lead arm and force him back to the center. Punch him with the free hand.
You need to
get a little physical.
When you grab him, you need to get physical with him. You need to tie. You're the bigger guy.
Bump him. Give him a shove. Give him a nudge.
That takes it out of you. Believe it or not, it takes it out of you.
But here was the disturbing thing. As the fight went on, you saw like when he would try to grab Usyk from behind the head with his lead hand and then pull him down and punch. Usyk was like, get the fuck off me. Like, he couldn't even out-muscle Usyk. Usyk was strong.
Well, we knew, you know, he's going to be strong. But the thing is, I think Joshua was definitely stronger. But I don't think, again, man, it's, you know, his game plan was all wrong for this. I really believe that. It was just all wrong.
You have a better chance if you're Joshua gambling on being more aggressive, gambling on being more physical instead of laying back. Because if you lay back, you have zero chance.
He needed to be more physical. He needed to be more physical.
Yeah, he has no dog in him. And then again,
no, I disagree with that. I disagree completely with that. I think that he was trying to follow the game plan given. But to say he's got no dog, he wouldn't beat Ruiz if he didn't have dog. You know? I mean, you don't get to that level without having, like, that killer instinct.
Well, here's the thing. You're confusing discipline with dog. Doesn't have that killer instinct like some of the greats do. You got to compare him to his peers. All right? And to me, he seems like he's lacking confidence and he's second-guessing himself ever since that Klitschko fight. He's fought a little, just like Klitschko when he got knocked out a few times.
Yeah.
They're fighting as if they're unsure of themselves.
That's a good point.
Now, when I say you got that, when I mean that you have to fight when you have that dog in you, I'm not saying he's not he gets up every morning, trains. He's disciplined. He's determined in what he's got to do.
Look at the Klitschko fight. I mean, he was out. I mean, he was out in the seventh round or something like that, or he was knocked down. He had to bite down to finish that fight.
But I think in that fight, I'm going to say this, and this is just my opinion. I think he was lucky that Klitschko's gas tank ran out before his.
Well, was that luck or was that a product of what Joshua was doing?
They were both fighting on even terms at the time of the. Well, they were both fighting on even terms at the time of the fight, and some people, I think one of the judges had Klitschko up. I think Klitschko lost that fight because he ran out of gas. Now
I'll go along with that.
Again, you're correct. He ran out of gas because Joshua made him run out of gas.
Yeah,
but Joshua was never going to make Usyk run out of gas.
No.
He's never going to make Fury run out of gas. And to Wilder's credit, you're not going to make Wilder run out of gas.
Listen, we cut a lot on Wilder. We do. And well-deserved after what he says.
Wilder's got the dog.
Wilder's in shape.
He doesn't quit.
Wilder's in shape, and Wilder will try to be there for full 12 rounds.
And I'm not saying Joshua quit. I'm not calling him a quitter. I'm not questioning anything about Joshua. What I'm telling you is I've seen Joshua, I've watched Joshua, okay? And I've just seen him mentally shut down in fights. Like, he mentally shut down. Like, he had a look on his face yesterday. Like, he was bewildered. After one of the rounds, when he went back to his corner, he looked up at the sky and put his hand like, God help me. Go back and watch. He looked up to the sky. He was doing some soul searching. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even Wilder in the second Fury fight, he was still coming forward and trying to throw that right hand.
He didn't know how to beat him, but he knew that if he could just land, he knew he could beat something. He at least had enough.
Klitschko
said, hey, I'm just going to do what
Klitschko
I can do.
Klitschko. Joshua have that killer instinct. And I think at this point in his career, I think it's even lessened now. That doesn't mean he doesn't have skills. That doesn't mean he's not a great fighter. But once again, I got to compare him to his peers. And these other guys, when you're a heavyweight champion of the world, and then after a fight when you lose, and you're acting like you just lost a game of cribbage, right? You just lost a game of checkers, right? And then you're saying, well, I'm still learning on the job. And then your promoter's like saying, well, maybe we should have swerved them, you know, but AJ's not like that. Well, why would you even say maybe you should have swerved them? You're the heavyweight champion of the world, and you're saying, well, I'm still learning on the job. Which one is it? It's either when he's winning, he's the best fighter in the world. But when he loses, I'm still learning on
the job.
Now, again, you could always get better. You could always improve. You can always gain experience. But when you're heavyweight champion of the world, you're past the point of learning on the job. He was talking yesterday like he was a prospect.
Well, you know, is that a sense? I mean, I don't know. I mean, some people are just calm under fire. Some people, you know, I mean.
Yeah, but you got to hate to lose, I think.
I think you do, but maybe you don't show it on camera. You know what I mean? I agree.
Like you said, he was too happy smiling before the fight, and he was too happy and smiling after the fight.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be too. Yeah.
That's just, again, it may not mean anything, or it may mean everything. I'm just telling you, for me, I get the vibe like it's just, it's not the end of the world for him to lose. So
right.
If it's not the end of the world for you to lose, then you accept it.
He got a lot in his career pretty early. I mean, he really did. He got, but you could. But one thing you can say about him, he's fought the absolute best guys out there in the heavyweight division. Who's fought better guys?
I mean, once again, Eric, this isn't the heavyweight division of the 70s. It's not the heavyweight division of the 90s.
We don't have Holmes or anybody in there. Yeah,
yeah,
right?
So these guys are fighting. All these guys, you can say whatever you want.
I agree. I definitely hear that.
All these guys are fighting what's in front of them. So
yeah, they're fighting, but he can only fight again. Who's in front of him?
Yeah.
But the people who've been in front of him are a who's who of the heavyweight division right now.
Yeah, they're solid guys.
They're all solid guys.
I mean,
they're
didn't fight Wilder or Fury, but, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't fight him either.
They didn't. Yeah, they, right. Exactly. You know. Do you think, because AJ has said at the end of the fight yesterday, he is going to invoke a rematch.
Yeah.
They are going to have a rematch on this. Do you think he can make the adjustments and win in a second fight, even if that means changing trainers or anything like that?
Needs to bring Buddy McGirt in.
Okay.
He needs a new trainer.
Robert
McCracken, I think he's done all he could do for AJ. I think he's taken him as far as he could take him.
Yeah.
I think he needs a new trainer. Lennox Lewis has been saying it, that he needs a new trainer. He needs a new trainer. He needs Buddy McGirt. I would tell him to change his hand positioning up. I think that's key. I would tell him to, every time you feel Usyk, every time Usyk's jab is coming out and you touch it with your lead hand, you need to just go over the top with your own and step in with your own. You have to come forward. You can't wait on this guy.
Yeah.
You have to come forward. You have to step in hard with your jab, and you have to push him back. And if he tries to go off to the side, to his right, to your left, you need to keep him in front of you at all times. Force him in the center. Here's the thing. You're going to fight a guy who's faster than you on his feet and faster with his hands. You're going to fight that guy in the center of the ring? You're the bigger guy. You back him up. You push him back into a corner. You push him back into the ropes. Usyk's back touched the ropes one time in that fight.
Usyk had a good game plan of just tight circles in the middle of the ring. It was perfect.
Joshua stood right in the center of the ring and did not try to push him back.
Right. There was no physicality on Joshua. That's what he needs to do in the second fight. He needs to put hands on him.
And
he needs to muscle him. You know.
And even if he did move forward and Usyk stepped around him or whatever, you're still giving yourself more of a chance to win doing that than staying and waiting on this guy in the center of the ring and fighting him on his terms.
Right.
You could still fight him on different terms and lose, but you got to give yourself the best chance to win. And you're not giving yourself the best chance to win by standing there in the center of the ring with the faster guy and allowing him to operate.
Right.
You got to make it uncomfortable for him. And if you gas out, you gas out. Go out on your shield. Either way, you know, you got to try to win this fight.
That's it. Michael Montero, thank you for listening. He says, Joshua deserves credit for taking on a mandatory that most modern fighters in his position would have passed on. See Canelo Triple G in 2015. 100% right. He also says that Usyk deserves credit for grabbing 3 of the 4 heavyweight belts in just his third fight at 200+. That's a big deal. I mean, that's really, you know, there was really no learning period for him on the heavyweight spectrum, you know. He said, as he's already the most accomplished cruiserweight ever. I agree. And I mean, think about that for a minute. He's got 3 of the 4 belts, one more and he unifies. He would be a unified cruiserweight champion and a unified heavyweight champion. You know what he said last night? They said, is this the biggest win of your career with the belts and everything? He says, no, nothing tops the Olympic medal. Nothing tops
he
the gold medal.
He won a gold medal at heavyweight, too. He was 201 pounds in the Olympics.
Yeah, he said nothing tops it. The Don, thank you so much. We appreciate it. He said, AJ's finished salute to the Ringside Reporters and JC's president of the Hair Club for Men Weightlifting Club. There you go. All right. I guess.
Who's the Hair Club for Men?
I don't know. JC. It says JC, the president of the Hair Club for Men and I guess Hair Club for Men Weightlifting Club. JC is the guy, I guess. There you go. So, yeah, so we'll be wondering when the rematch is coming down. Let's talk about the other fights on there. We'll go over these pretty brief here because there wasn't much to talk about here. Lawrence Okolie knocks out Dylan Prasovic with a body shot in the third round. Let me tell you what, I didn't see – I had to rewind it and watch this again. I didn't see that body shot land, and I'm like, when he went down, I'm like, what is he doing? What did he drop him with? And then, you know, I saw a body shot or whatever, and I'm like, that wasn't even a big shot. And I looked again. It was a big shot. I mean, he hooked him. I mean, he put some muscle into that. He turned his entire body. It was like – it was almost like a heavy bag shot, you know, where you're just playing around with the heavy bag and you just rip it. That's what he did. The guy just dropped, man. He wasn't getting up after that. Shot right in the liver. He ain't getting up, son. He was done. But Okolie looked good, man. We'll see what he does next. Campbell Hatton versus Sonny Martinez. Now, this is a fight I did not see. But Campbell Hatton, that's what everybody's saying. He said the ref had it 58-57 for Hatton. He said, there's no way. There's no way.
He lost that fight, man. Oh, my God.
That's what I heard, man. I didn't see the fight, but that's what I heard. So, yeah, not good.
Yeah, he fucking lost that fight.
But he wins a decision. Either way, he won a decision, so I guess it is what it is.
DAZN aggravates the fuck out of me because they need to show the replays of the knockouts better. The camera angles, they got to do it better. They make you wait like a half hour before they show the replay. And then when they show you the replay, it's a shitty fucking angle.
You know who they got to hire? You know who these guys got to start hiring? It's those guys who do the wrestling and stuff like that.
Oh,
the cameramen,
the
cameramen.
Oh, they're the best.
They don't miss a trick, man.
They are the best. You are 100% spot on with that.
When you're talking about production, those guys don't miss a trick. I mean, they catch everything. If you do something slick, they're going to catch it. You know what I mean? Like, they catch everything over there.
Yeah.
Callum Smith versus Lennon Castillo. This was a scary one, man. So Callum Smith won via KO. It was a right hand in round two that did the damage. Listen, man, when Castillo hit the floor, his legs were, like, shaking uncontrollably. Like, you could see him looking at his legs, and they're shaking uncontrollably. And he just went out. And he was stretchered out of the ring and everything like that. The good news is I read that he went to the hospital and that he is responsive. So that's great news. Seems like he's going to be okay.
I got to say this.
Sometimes it just happens, man.
Callum Smith physically, he looks fucking awesome at light heavyweight. Like, he looks really good. Like, I know it's not always about, you know, how you look. It's not a bodybuilding contest, but he just looked full. He looked lean. And you have to ask yourself, how is he ever able to continue to make 168 like he was doing?
This is a guy who won the boxing series tournament.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I always want to call it the Super Six, and I know that's not right.
Yeah, it's a
World Series, I guess it's called.
It's fucking, yeah, the tongue
twister. Yeah, you know, and I mean, as good as he looked there, as good as he looked last night, Canelo just washed this guy. It wasn't even close, and it's just like that just shows you where, you know, and I know Lenny Castillo's not exactly a world beater.
Yeah,
I get
that.
I got you. Yeah. But
Stupid question. Him and Canelo at 175, is it a different fight?
No. No, I don't think there's anything he can do, man. And I'll tell you what, I think I even picked Callum Smith in that first fight, in the Canelo fight. I think I did pick Callum Smith in that fight, and he just got washed. I mean, it wasn't even close, man. Couldn't believe it. All right, let's go to the phones here. 530, Robert. Ringside Robert, you're on.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
That was an incredible fight yesterday. Boy, I've never been more happy to be wrong in my life. That was one hell of a show that Alexander Usyk put on.
You ever get laid before?
Oh,
you
God.
You have two kids.
Come on,
they're
Joe,
they
what is sex? What is
you're
going to
put that over,
there,
over the birth of your children?
Robert, wow.
You're going to put that over the birth of your children?
That's messed up.
You have, you have two kids.
I said I'm cold-blooded.
Give me a
son. Break.
Horrible.
Wow.
This is the greatest day of my life.
Man.
No.
You have two kids. What about the last kid?
I didn't.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Christ.
Jesus.
What the hell's wrong with you?
What the? I was about to ask you the same question.
What the hell's wrong with you? I didn't
Jesus.
Say anything.
Well, you have two kids
was,
and you're putting that happiest,
I didn't
the happiest
the day,
of
my,
day life.
Of my life.
What are you
Come
doing?
On, guys.
What are you doing?
Get
watching the things jacking off? Who are you painting the walls or something? What's going on with you? What's wrong with you?
I know, man. Hey, I was watching the fight yesterday while under evacuation orders because we had a major fire that started
Oh, I don't
want to
hear
area.
That the friggin' I don't want
to
hear the sob story,
John. Please.
The
fights, man. Come on.
I don't want to hear the sob.
Well, you got a fire out there? You got more fires, more wildfires out there?
Yeah.
What's
the
going on in California?
Days,
why is it every year?
Orders, man. Come on.
Why is it every year you guys got this going on?
You should have had that fucking guy recalled, but you guys didn't want to recall it.
Yeah, you want to leave that catalytic converter on there.
You
want to
leave him in. It happens. You want to leave him in there. This is what happens. You got to deal with the repercussions of it.
No, in this case, we had a person actually start the fire, and she got caught.
Oh, what'd she look like?
I don't know what she looked like, but apparently
she's
going to
Are you in on it? Are you in on it?
No,
she is. You know who she is? Were you in on it?
No, hell no. Now, I called to talk about the fights, and you're starting all this garbage.
I told you, Beeb.
Anyway.
Gavin Newsom started the fight.
Like I sent Beeb a few minutes ago, Buddy McGirt is now training Caleb Smith, and yesterday was their first fight together, and you could already see a major difference in the corners. So, but
you think Caleb Smith can beat Canelo at 175?
I think it'll be a more competitive fight at 175. I don't know if he'll win, but I think it'll be more competitive at 175 than it was at 168.
Don't sit on the fence now. Here you go again, sitting
on
the fence.
Fence, man.
What the hell's wrong with
you?
You
know you think
he
could beat him. You're just afraid to say it. You're just afraid to say it.
What the hell is wrong with you two? Jesus Christ.
I didn't even say anything.
No, well, you got to control your Boston mouthpiece over there. My God.
Wow.
Jeez. I don't know what's wrong with him.
Ah, that's rough.
Speaking a little bit more than just the mouthpiece over there.
That's unkind.
Get a brain, get a heart.
Well, you did
not just
grow up around Whitey Bulger, so you might have learned some dirty tricks, you know?
Whoa! Stereotype.
Hey-o. Wow.
Whoa.
My goodness.
Anyway.
What a slap in the face.
You know what? Joshua might be able to make some adjustments, but even when they rematch, I think Usyk will do what he did again yesterday.
How'd you have the fight?
I had it 8-4 for Usyk.
Wow, you had it that close?
Yeah. Yeah, I had it. Well, one of the judges had it 7-5. I can't figure that out.
I had it 117-111.
I had it 117-111.
Yeah, one of the judges had an even round. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
That round 8 was even.
Do you think Joshua should retire,
I couldn't
Robert?
Believe that when they, I couldn't believe that when they read the scorecards. I'm saying 117-112? Where did you – 112? Really? You know.
You know how they do those even rounds in the UK.
Yeah, they love the even rounds over there.
Yeah, I
so,
know they do.
Hey, do you think Joshua should retire?
No. I do agree with Joe though. Buddy McGirt would be a wonderful trainer for him. That's the change he needs to make, and he can make adjustments. But if he keeps his corner status quo and does not make the necessary adjustments, it'll be an easy street for Usyk, and he'll win the rematch.
What about Robert Garcia, man? Get some Mexican style.
No, I agree with B.
Buddy
McGirt
Mexicans,
would be
man.
His
That's
guy.
Tough.
Yeah.
Be good. Be good.
Yep.
What'd you
and
think
I'm
about
glad,
Campbell Hatton?
I'm glad to hear
he won
that
fight?
Lenny Castillo. I'm glad to hear that Lenny Castillo is going to be all right. That was scary, man.
Well, time you showed some compassion.
Yeah, really, Robert.
Yeah.
He's got a family.
Why don't you call after this call? Why don't you call up your kids and just tell them how much you love them?
Aww.
Oh, I talk to them
regularly. Call your kids up
with you, babe.
Call them up after this show and tell them you love them. And tell them,
I do
and
that
tell
all
them
the
that
time.
Fight wasn't the happiest day of my life.
I didn't
make sure
say
you tell
that,
them the fight
I
wasn't the happiest
say,
day.
I didn't say that, babe. I didn't say. I said I was happy to be wrong. Because I didn't expect a good fight, honestly, yesterday.
Not what I heard. You said that was the happiest day of your life watching
oh.
that fight.
That's rough.
Lois must
Eric,
be ignoring
you. Say that?
What can I say?
Sounded like it. That was rough. That was rough. All right, guys. Hey, if you guys are watching and everything like that, man, go ahead and hit the thumbs up button, man. What are you guys doing, man? I mean, come on. Hit the thumbs up, man. Show us some love. We're here on a Sunday. We could be watching football. You know what? Me and Beeb could be at the game right now. We could be at the Boston Patriots game right now, you know. But instead, we're here with you.
Well, the Patriots today, so I don't know if he'd want
to
go or not.
They used to
you,
call
you
the
know,
Boston Patriots back in the day.
They used to call them the Boston Patriots.
Well, they were the Boston Patriots way long ago.
You know what? They'll always
yeah,
be the Boston
were.
Patriots to me.
Yeah.
Always be the Boston Patriots to me.
I've got
you think
my
of Bengals today, Robert?
I got my
hey, what
Raiders
you think of that Bengals game, son? What'd you think of Burrow, son?
Hey,
what you
that,
that
hey,
Bengals
good,
defense, son.
Hey, good job by them.
Rolling.
Good job by them, you know. And you're going to win on
Title
Thursday
Town,
because
baby.
Jacksonville is a disaster, Eric. So that's a win for
Did
you guys.
Did you just say we're going to win on third leg? Like, tell us something we don't already know. Son, we're the best. We're the best team in the NFL right now.
No, you're not.
Yeah, who's better? Who's better? Who's better?
Let's see. Tampa Bay is better.
You
the Rams are better.
It. Tampa Bay, aren't they losing right now?
Currently, but hey, it's early.
Faced. Bengals never trailed in that game, son. All right, Robert, we're going to put you
all
on
right.
hold here, man. We're going to get
okay.
some more calls, man. All right. 760, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? What up, Eric?
Hey, what's going on?
What's good? What's crashing?
Heavyweight,
man. Yes,
the heavyweight,
sir. Eric, man, what happened to
told
your
you
boy,
plant
man?
Without,
AJ,
told you that Canelo
man.
Plant fight was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I still got to get him. Yo, Eric, what happened
get that pie
to
ready.
Boy,
get that pie
man.
Ready.
He won. Eric. What are you talking about? He won.
No, your boy, AJ. That's your boy. That's your man.
I had Usyk winning this fight.
Oh, you did?
I picked
in the
Usyk and everything.
Usyk could,
yeah, I picked Usyk and everything,
beat,
son.
AJ?
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I even gave yeah. it him a go look at the predictions and everything. I had Usyk winning. I even called the score 117-111. That's exactly how I scored.
Steve, is this true?
No, it ain't true.
I was like, oh, you switched it up like that. I thought AJ was your boy. Hey, man, damn, man. Hey, I ain't going to lie. I was, like, looking at that shit. Like, I thought for sure AJ eventually was going to get the knockout. I'm like, don't worry, man. He just let him do this. He'll get him the next round. He'll get him the next round. He'll get him the next round. That shit just
pretty
did
soon
not
there was
happen,
no more rounds.
Never happened.
Lee, I was like,
never happened.
Shit, man. He didn't do it this time, man. But I think he could make some adjustments. I don't know what was up with him, man. Why did he want to go out there and just box with this dude? He didn't impose his power at all, man. At all. I didn't see. Did you guys see Joshua just land a good, clean shot that had Usyk just wobbled a little bit?
Yeah. You know what? I thought in that fifth and sixth round when it was one of those two rounds that he landed some good shots, and I thought they stunned him. I really do.
He was being aggressive maybe one or two rounds, Anthony Joshua. But
yeah.
And it was effective, too, when he was being aggressive. I don't even think – you know what? I don't think it was his coach, man. It seemed like the coach was trying to tell him to be more aggressive. It's just maybe AJ just decided to just – be more passive, man. I agree with B. When I seen all that smiling and shit and all that shit going on in the beginning of the fight.
I told
like,
you,
man,
yeah. I didn't
said,
like that,
man. I
hope
the damn fight. But I ain't going to lie. It was a good show. He ran like 6 or 7 tracks on there before he came out. I'm over there singing. Rocking the theme,
it was like a Thriller.
It
was like watching Thriller, and, you know.
Yeah, I was like, this is like a fucking concert. Okay, when are we going to get to the fight? You know what I'm saying? But, man, Anthony Joshua might be too nice. He might be too much of a nice guy, man. He got to go back to who he was. Man, he was knocking fools out. Anthony Joshua was like one of the best finishers, you know, and I think he just, maybe that Andy Ruiz fight just got him thinking, because he even said it in the post conference. He said he wanted to go out there and box. Like, man, you fucking, you Anthony Joshua, you knocking fools' heads off, man. What you talking about, man? But I think if they do a rematch, I think Anthony Joshua can still get him, man. You know, if he imposes himself with his power, he could get him. Eric, you don't like
him. Here's the thing, man.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. You know what? I don't. But I think if he changes his game plan, I do. If he changes his game plan, and we've seen Anthony Joshua is able to change his game plan, like change his entire outlook on fighting, you know, because he didn't fight like that again with that rematch with Ruiz. We've never seen him fight like that. And he completely revamped his whole style. He can do it again. Absolutely. Now, will he win a rematch? That I don't know.
Right.
This fight wasn't exactly close, so I don't know.
Yeah. But, I mean, he just was letting Usyk just take up all the real estate, man, every part of it in the ring. I was like, man, he just cannot catch him. He can't stay in the center. He just cannot impose himself. I think maybe next fight he might be a little bit more imposing, you know. But then it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm going to give Anthony Joshua a chance to win the rematch. That's the damn sure shit. That was a hell of a fight, man. Let him get it. Let him run that shit back, you know. But let's say if
we got winning in 2 weeks.
Fury
by KO?
Oh shit, you know.
You got Fury by KO?
Fury about to get knocked out quick, I think so. I know everybody.
Do you think that Wilder wears a 40-pound suit in there this time and then blames his trainers?
You know what? He ain't going to blame nobody. He's going to get the win, man.
But if he loses.
He's going to get the win. Does he
is
lose
he just going to blame everybody else? If Wilder loses, is he just going to blame everybody else? He's going to take it like a man?
Wilder, I don't see him losing, but if he do lose, he'll probably accept the loss. I don't think he's going to say anything this time because they're going to be watching everything they're doing. It ain't going to be nothing to say. They're going to be watching Fury Glove. There ain't going to be no excuse for there to be an excuse. So whoever wins.
Well, he's always been gracious in defeat, so I can see that too.
Who?
Wilder.
Who, Wilder?
Yeah.
He only got one defeat, unlike your boy.
He was very gracious after that defeat,
two.
Too. He
unlike
was very
your boy,
he's got
AJ.
Two, that's a villain. That's a
he's
huge
very
deal.
Classy. He's very classy on that defeat, I have to say.
Yeah, just like your boy AJ over there smiling and shit. Don't know what the fuck he's talking about, but right.
Did you send
anyway,
did you send Beeb any more shirts?
Nah, but I'm still looking at them shirts you be wearing. You need some, man. Take that trash and throw it away, homie. Stop rocking that shit on the internet, man. Damn, I feel bad for you, homie. What you want? You want some Cali shirts? You want some boxing shirts?
You know,
what kind of shirt you want, homie?
You know what? You know, I can't even rip on you because you're not on camera. But you know, even if you wore, I don't ever look at guys like that. So you know, I don't know. I mean, you'd like Akin Barak over here dressing people up.
I've seen Brian. Brian came on the show before. He's on camera a couple of times.
Yeah, I've seen him
did
on the
he?
Show.
Yeah.
I have my Ringside Reporter shirt on. You can't say shit, homie.
Yeah, man.
That's a shirt to wear right there. That's stylish. Man. I bet you get a lot of compliments when you wear that shirt, don't you?
Oh yeah, the ladies
love it.
That's
a nice logo,
boy. Ladies love it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have that big.
Do they ever take it as a souvenir when they leave your house? They would take it. You're like, hey, you could have this. Remember me by. Give them that shirt.
Now I'll give him the. I'll cut off the sleeve. Take that, you know. But look, man. Let me tell you. 2 weeks from now, your boy Fury, he going down, B. He's going down, man.
That's all she wrote.
Hey, man. Let me tell you something. Hold up. Hold up. Wait a minute. Before, while we are on Fury, okay, because everybody was all into this old, oh, we want the undisputed. We want AJ versus Fury. Give us a man, Fury would have beat the shit out of Anthony Joshua. Do you guys agree?
No. No, I don't. I don't because styles make fights. You can't do triangle math. It doesn't work.
I think Jerry
would
beat him.
Can't do combat
Fury
math.
With that movement would have, okay, if old boy gave him problems with that movement, you don't think Fury would have gave him problems?
Do you think, hey, B, you know, since he brought this up, what do you think about Fury and Usyk?
I don't think Fury will ever fight Usyk.
I don't think he will either, but if they did fight.
I'd pick Fury.
You pick Fury?
Fury.
Yeah, because Fury can fight on
Fury,
the other side.
Homie.
I'd be curious, man. I'd be real curious because, you know, Fury is one of those guys that we talk about lacking pop. You know what I mean? And both guys, I mean, it's – I don't know. I don't know who would win that one.
I'd pick Fury.
I would favor Wilder over Usyk. Would you favor Wilder over Usyk?
Me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think Wilder has a better shot at beating Usyk than Joshua does.
I do, too.
Yeah.
And like I said,
Wilder's going to come – Wilder awkward, too. Wilder's going to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely give him – yeah, I would definitely give him the advantage.
I think Wilder could be may be able to beat Joshua.
I think that's the thing. All four of these heavyweights, I think, are capable of beating each other on any given occasion. Any given night, anything can happen. Really believe
it. But Fury's the guy that can fight and be successful – fighting in a different number of ways, where these other guys, well, Usyk can fight in a number of ways too, but he's not that, like, Fury's a better inside fighter than all of them.
Man, let me tell you, that's, man.
I think Usyk's a better boxer
man.
Than all of them.
Look, man,
you can
Fury,
say, I mean, the argument could be made. I'm not.
Sure.
I think Fury's the better boxer of all of them, but you can make an argument Usyk
Fury
is too.
Fury is the toughest. Hey, man, Fury is the toughest out of all them dudes. Don't play yourself, man. This dude is the biggest, the longest, got the best movement. Don't play yourself. If Wilder do, I'm going to say this, though. I'm going to say this, too. If Wilder come back and
how's Wilder
going to
beat him then?
How's
Wilder going to beat him then with all that? You just made an argument
against
Fury.
You just made an argument against yourself, son.
Because right now they ain't fought. They haven't fought, right? So
fought twice.
How can I make a prediction of
he fought twice.
If
he lost 19 rounds. After 19 rounds, Wilder only won three rounds.
Both fights.
After 19 rounds, Wilder only won three rounds. Maybe
with
two.
All that, that's like
two and a half.
He ain't win no three rounds. Stop playing yourself. He almost knocked
your boy out.
He almost knocked your boy out.
Okay,
so anyway,
that was in one of the three rounds he won.
Almost.
That was
I'm
one of the three
actually,
rounds
oh,
he won, and
the
round almost knocked him out.
I'm giving your boy Fury props for right now. I'm saying he the best right now until October 9th. And if Wilder do beat him and come back, it's probably, in my opinion, it's probably one of the best comebacks.
If it was a split,
that
I'd be
on
cloud
seen.
Nine right now.
If it was a split.
Hey,
all right, Brian, we're
going to
get
Fury.
Going, man. Send me some shirts, okay?
Wait a minute.
We got to get going, man. We got a lot of callers on the line.
Oh, shit, you cut him off.
I didn't cut him off, man. I told him goodbye. It's not like I just said,
He was getting the better of you. You had to get him off.
He was getting the like Coach T used to get the better of me, right? Yeah.
Don't bring him up. You probably still have nightmares about that guy smoking. Yeah?
Son, let me tell you what. He still has nightmares about me. He ain't been back on since the whipping I gave him, son. He ain't even been back on, son. He's probably sitting there. He probably hates Sundays at 7 o'clock. He probably hates Sundays at 6 o'clock, son.
You didn't even call in. You probably blocked him.
He's like, he's probably sitting on his chair just having, he's probably sitting there watching football thinking about me whipping him like that, boy.
He was the best. I miss him so much, man. He was the best.
Do you? I didn't really care for him all that much. 917, you're live.
It's my answer.
Maybe you're not. There he is. Hello. Who are we speaking with?
Maestro.
Maestro. Okay,
hey,
Maestro.
Amelie, man.
We got you.
And Maestro.
Amelie, what up, Amelie?
I need some of that good that the last caller was smoking. You know it's legal here in New York City right now, right?
Yeah.
Some of that good. Because if
some
he
of the
thinks
kush. Some
Wilder's
of the kush.
Going to beat Fury, I need some of that good. But to bring
wow.
it back to this past weekend, remember the question I asked when I called in last week, right? I said, well, actually, I posed it as a question. I asked, if Ruiz could go 12, if other people like Parker had gone 12, if the referee needed to save, give Joshua a victory over Takam the way he did, why couldn't Usyk go 12? And if he can go 12, he's going to win the fight, and that's exactly what he did. Now, I posted my official pick on your channel on Joe's preview upload of the fight. And I said, look, Usyk by TKO. And he almost got it. You know, it looked to me like he was about to get the TKO, especially there in the 12th round. And I haven't gone back and watched the 12th round, but a couple people had said that it did seem like it was stopped early. But regardless, I do think the knockout could have been there had he really gone for it, even earlier in the fight. But according to Usyk, his trainer didn't want him to go for the knockout because of how well he was doing, and he followed the instructions of his trainer. Now, Eric, you asked a couple good questions. One of them was, why couldn't he jab him like he jabbed Ruiz? I think the answer to that is that Usyk isn't 5'11 and 300 pounds. Usyk is a southpaw. He's got great footwork, good movement. He kept that foot where he needed to position-wise to stay off the line, as Joe said. And, you know, he had Joshua parrying the jab. Now, Joe, you're going to notice, as well as anybody, one of the great things that Lennox Lewis could do was catch the jab using his right hand, right? Catch the jab using his right hand. Larry Holmes could do it. Muhammad Ali could do it. But it's not a skill that you see AJ doing very much. And that's why he ended up getting into a jousting contest like he did last night with Usyk. What are your thoughts on that, Joe?
Well, that's what I said. I actually said that he needs to adopt that same style somewhat in terms of the hand positioning of Lennox Lewis, because Lennox Lewis is able to do what you just said. A lot of that was not only just timing, it was just having your hand positioning in a specific way. You know, Lennox Lewis, when he went with Emmanuel Stewart, he changed up his style a little bit, and he kept that backhand in the center of his body. So when he would throw his jab and he would leave his, you notice his lead hand was out, he put it out there farther. Instead of keeping it closer to his body, his lead hand was out there farther. So when he would throw the jab, he would be in position to catch the counter jab with his right hand. Joshua needs to make some of those adjustments that Lennox Lewis made when he went with Emmanuel Stewart. So I agree 110% with what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, Lennox had the best trainer of big men, probably, I don't know if I'm going to say all time, but definitely in terms of our kind of generation of the 90s, 2000s, dare I say even the 80s, especially if you consider Tommy Hearns a big man. He at least fought like one in the welterweight division. Vitaly Klitschko had him.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for Joshua, and I said this earlier when I just walked around and went live, you know, Sugar Hill is taken. But I think a good trainer for him, honestly, would be Jonathan Banks, because he comes out of that school. He's very familiar with the Kronk style.
Yeah.
He was essentially taught by Emmanuel Stewart. And he was the guy that Vladimir actually picked to be Emmanuel's successor. Having said that, I don't think that at this stage of his career, because despite the way he speaks, he's not a young prospect. He's not a young contender. You know, this is a guy who's in his 30s, who, by my calculation, is a six-time heavyweight champion because he's won six belts, three times two. And, you know, it's going to be kind of hard for him at this stage of his career to learn how to box like that. Now, the thing is, a lot of people are like, well, you know, why didn't he just take it to Usyk and, you know, back him up? as you said, Joe, that takes a tremendous amount of cardio. You know, you guys know what I do for a living. I'm a phys ed teacher. You know, I've recently started at a new school, but in the past, every single year, what I do is I do a fitness assessment called Fitness Grant. And as part of that, we get a VO2 max calculated for all of our students. We assess their aerobic capacity, muscular strength, muscular endurance, body composition, as well as flexibility. And I'm telling you, and I've always said this, I said it last week, his cardiorespiratory endurance is poor. His aerobic capacity is poor. Not for a layman. You know, he's fitter than 99% of people out there, but for a guy that would want to adopt a offensively focused, you know, attack where he kind of runs guys down, he just doesn't have the lungs for it. You know, his heart is not pumping that those red blood cells filled with oxygen at a rate that's high enough to, you know, basically feed all of those muscles that he's got. It's a very difficult thing for him to do, and he's not going to be able to use that kind of style against Usyk. The style that I thought would be successful for him, and it was the path to victory that I saw for him, is one that he didn't use for whatever reason, which is the jab, right hand, clinch, jab, left hook to the body, clinch, jab, right hand to the body, clinch, rest on him, lean on his shoulders, that kind of a big man.
Make it an ugly fight.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Gotta slow the pace down.
Yeah.
The pace was too fast for him.
Slow down the pace.
Yeah.
Right?
Beautiful.
Because what that – go ahead.
I agree.
Go ahead, Eric.
No, I think you're right on. I mean, that's what we had talked about earlier. I mean, and this is how he can win a rematch. I really believe this is how he can win a rematch, is to make this fight ugly. And I think Jonathan Banks, I think that's a perfect, you know, I think it's perfect. Because Manny Stewart, I think, could have done wonders with Joshua. I mean, he did wonders with Klitschko. Klitschko was a chinny heavyweight. I mean, he really was. He was very chinny. And look what he did. He made him almost unbeatable.
That's true.
Absolutely. And Klitschko's problem, again, is that the oxygen demands of those muscles is obviously very high. And one of the things that style facilitates is essentially what's called, an active recovery. So you're not lying down, you're not sitting down, but you're moving around, but your heart rate is dropping again. It gives you a recovery time. And what are you doing at a recovery time? You're putting your weight on the other man's shoulders. You're leaning over his back. You're moving him around the ring. You're recovering while you're kind of making it difficult for him. Does that make sense? I mean, that's what Lennox did. That's what Vladimir Klitschko did.
That was great points.
Yeah.
My bad. I'm in New York City in the fucking dirt bike house. Last thing I wanted to say was just kind of the dog debate that you guys were having back and forth. You know, his commitment to the sport of boxing, I don't think, can be questioned. But his commitment to finishing fighters and being offensively minded is, I think, what's being questioned with the use of the term the dog, right? The example of that I thought was the Pulev fight. He had Pulev ready to be taken out of there. But I think that he didn't go for the kill, not because he's afraid of Pulev or getting knocked out by a shot, but because he was worried about gassing out like he did in this last fight. And for all of the strength and conditioning he does, he lacks functional strength, usable strength in the later rounds, which we saw because Usyk was even pushing him around the ring. You know, he can have muscles for days, right, and be able to bench and deadlift and do all kind of, compound weight exercises. But once you get late into the fight and, you know, your lactic acid is through the roof and you're tired and gassed, your functional strength is not really there. And we saw Usyk kind of really take advantage of that.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I remember Evander Holyfield used to have that same issue, and I always attribute it to, you know, he's a big guy, he's just solid muscle, but he always bounced in the ring. If you notice that, he was always bouncing. That takes a lot out of you. You know, he was never really relaxed. AJ, I don't know what AJ's problem is. I really don't. I mean, he doesn't do any really unnecessary movements in there to get tired, but he does have a lot of muscle. And he's a big guy, but he's lost weight. But he came in about 240. I guess he came in 240 for this fight. They wanted him a little thinner here, I guess. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what his problem is. Some people just don't have that gas tank, you know. And let me tell you what, man, when you're tired, it is what it is, man. I mean, if that guy wants to push you around, he'll push you around. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to leave it at that. You know, the last caller left me a lot to kind of debate in terms of the Fury Wilder stuff, but I think we'll leave that for next week for Fight Week. I just want to let you guys know I ordered my first Manscaped product using the promo code Ringside Reporter. So I want to encourage
Oh, thank
everyone
you, brother.
Oh, we
to
love
that,
it.
You know?
Thank you so much.
You know what
thank
I mean?
You so much.
Quality products.
Awesome.
I got myself the Weed Whacker. You know what I mean? Got to take care of that male grooming. And I want to thank you guys for a great show as always. Make sure you check me out Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, for Mano a Mano Live with Kenny T. Eric, thank you so much. Joe, thank you so much. And you guys have a good evening.
All right. Thank you, man. Very good, man. Awesome stuff. And thank you so much for ordering from Manscaped. And speaking, Beeb, of Manscaped, look what you got there. What do you got there? Tell
the
us
weed
about
whacker,
it.
Baby.
Tell
this
us about
a weed
it.
Whacker. All these nose hairs that I have, when I'm going in for that killer kiss at the end of the date, last thing I want to see is have my girl see is those hairs out of my nose. So I make sure I have this handy with me.
That's right. And Beeb goes in for a lot of those kisses, right, Beeb?
Oh, well, you know. That's
honey
that's
dips everywhere.
That's an automatic, man.
Honey that dips dozen, everywhere for the Beeb.
Big dozen of honey dips.
A gaggle of honey dips.
Lots of honey dips.
Exciting news across from our friends at Manscaped. They just launched their fourth generation performance package. The ultimate package includes the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, 4.0. Manscaped, the leaders in males grooming, have done it again to make your grooming game next level. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the new performance package 4.0 by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code Ringside Reporter, one word, Ringside Reporter. The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and wow, let me tell you what, it was worth the wait. Inside this package, you will find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose and hair trimmer, Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. The new Performance Package 4.0 includes the Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is insane. It might be the greatest trimmer ever. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 marinate on that for a minute, RPM motor, a new multifunction on and off switch, can engage a travel lock. It gives you the ability to turn on a 4,000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof? It's waterproof. You thought that was good, but you want to take it even further. You want to go to, like, say, Beeb level. The performance package also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof. 9,000 RPM motor. How about that? Powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate areas. Seal the deal with Manscaped Liquid Formulations, their Crop Preserver deodorant for before leaving the house, and the Crop Reviver for a mid-game check. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their performance package, the Manscaped Boxers, which are great. They really are. Are they like one of the most comfortable boxers you've ever wore?
Oh, they're beautiful.
They're great, right?
The material is so soft.
You don't even, it feels like you're wearing nothing. It really does. And then you get the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. 20% off plus free shipping with the code Ringside Reporter. One word, Ringside Reporter, as you see on the screen here, at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off free shipping with the code Ringside Reporter at manscaped.com. So go check them out. That's right. There it is. All right, let's talk about the upcoming schedule here on October 9th. Let's see here. No, October 2nd would be next week. This is, you know, this is interesting. It doesn't have a any kind of TV or anything like that on it, and apparently it's
going to be on Sky, but I don't know if it's going to be anywhere in the U.S. Maybe the Zone picks it up. I don't know. Chris Eubank Jr. That's a special.
12 rounds middleweights. Not the most, enticing fight out there. David Avanesian on the undercard versus Liam Taylor, 12 rounds for Avanesian's European welterweight title. Jamal Ledoux versus Jermaine Brown, 10 rounds super middleweight. And let's see here, a bunch of people you've never, ever heard of. So there you go. Let's see here. And then that's it for next weekend. Of course, the weekend after, the big one, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. That's the big one, but that'll be next week's show. Next week we'll do a review on that one, or not a review, but a preview on that show, tell you how to bet and all that other good stuff. Beeb, any interest in seeing Chris Eubank this weekend?
No, I don't like these stay-busy fights.
Definitely a stay-busy fight.
I understand the need for them, but
yeah,
I don't like to see too many of them in a row. I start losing interest.
I agree. All right, let's talk about the news and rumors here. Okay, so a wild one. Earlier this week, this was pretty crazy. Listen, man, I've seen a lot of news conferences, a lot of pressers. We've seen people throw punches at the Morales Barrera, Larry Donald, and Riddick Bowe. You know, it comes to mind when you see this. Kind of out of characteristics, man. Canelo and Caleb Plant came to the center of the stage. They both start jawing at each other. Canelo pushes him. Caleb Plant comes back, slaps him in the face with a left hand, like a left hook. Barely, you know, it looks like it barely got him, but it did get him. Canelo fired back, and you know what? I saw there. Did you see the stills of this?
Yes.
It looked like a slap. Canelo slapped him.
Yes.
So they were both open hand. I mean, it was surprising that he didn't react with a fist. Neither one of them reacted with fist. But
yeah.
When he slapped Caleb Plant, Plant had glasses on. He had sunglasses on, and it cut his right eye. He was cut underneath the right eye, and it looked like a bad cut. I mean, it was... You know, it was open. It looked open. The more I looked at this cut, though, when I saw, like, a close-up of the picture, it looked like it was just a scratch, like a deep scratch, but a scratch nonetheless. Did not require any stitches or anything like that. So they were able to go on, and the fight should go off as planned with no problems, and he shouldn't have any problems with that cut. Beeb, do you think he'll have any problems with that cut?
Zero.
Yeah, I don't think he will either.
No.
Were you surprised? The thing that set it off was apparently Caleb MF'd him. You know, he called him a mother, you know, and this set off Canelo, because Canelo apparently, I don't know if it was lost in translation or what, but apparently he thinks Canelo said something about his, or he thinks that Caleb Plant said something about his mother, and that's what set him off. He said the same thing to Demetrius Andrade in that press conference. Does he know what it means? Sometimes you use words. Listen, man, everybody knows a few curse words in another language. I'm sure you know a lot about, you know, Lebanese. I'm sure they, you know some curse words there. I definitely know enough to get beat up in Tijuana. But, you know, all these curse words and everything like that, do you think it was he was lost in translation a little bit, or he knew what he was doing, or what?
Canelo was not upset about the motherfucker. He was upset about all the shit that Caleb Plant has been talking about his team in regards to the failed drug tests. He doesn't like the fact that Caleb Plant's been calling him a cheater. He doesn't like the fact that Caleb Plant has been insulting his trainer and saying that he enables the cheating. So when he went to that press conference, I believe he went there angry already, and he was just itching to do something to Caleb Plant if Caleb Plant irritated him in the slightest.
So you think he had an agenda as he went in that press conference?
Yeah, I think he had an agenda. I think he was trying to intimidate Caleb Plant. I think he was trying to send a message to Caleb Plant, like, you talked all that shit, talk that shit now in front of my face. Took his sunglasses off, looked him straight in the eye, and he went. They were both up in each other's personal space, but Canelo had that look that he was very irritated and he was angry. He was just hoping something was going to pop off. And like I said, he used that word motherfucker as an excuse, and he just pushed Caleb Plant. And I think he knew that he wasn't talking about his mother, but he just said, you just said, okay, you want to talk shit? Well, I'm going to push you. What are you going to do after I push you? And I'm glad Caleb Plant came back with the slap because he, you know, he needed to send a message that I'm not a punk. And to me, it was great that he did that because he's basically making a statement saying that I'm here to fight. I'm not intimidated by you. And, I'm not going to be like everybody else who just, you know, plays the role of being the B-side. I feel as though I'm on the same level as you, and I'm gonna make you believe that. And I'm going to show you that I am on the same level as you because you're not going to be able to just touch me. I'm going to slap you back on the face. Both guys, I think, had their hands open because they didn't want to break their hands. They didn't want to cut each other. They didn't want to do anything to jeopardize this fight happening. So they just wanted to kind of make a statement to each other that I'm here and you can't fuck with me.
Do you think this says anything? I mean, and I think...
Yeah, it says a lot.
See, I disagree. This is to me...
It says a lot to me.
This is like a sparring thing. This is like somebody getting beat in sparring or something like that. Or it doesn't mean a lot to me because it was on stage.
Yeah.
And before we even go any further, let me just bring this point out here.
Sure. Go ahead.
The fact that these guys even were allowed to put hands on each other, the fact that there was nobody on that stage, I think they said two women were the first ones between these guys. Why on earth there was no security there? Why on earth these guys were allowed to get that close? And when you saw it was getting heated, once that shove happened, why there weren't people right there? Why they were allowed to come? That was just bad security promotion. It really was. Because that right there, that cut on his eye could have been a lot worse. It could have taken out his eye. You know? I mean, it could have scratched his eye. It could have done a million things. It was just bad all the way around. Now, from a fan standpoint, you probably just sold a bunch more tickets, you know, and pay-per-views. But, you know, if you're Showtime, you got to get your head out of you got to get your head in the game. You know, you really do. Like, come on, man, what are you doing?
Well, what this showed me was how quickly Canelo was able to just snap into fight mode, and the way he just rolled that shot and countered back so quickly. It just showed that he was just so much more skilled and had so much better reflexes, and his hands looked a lot faster than Plant's. Now, obviously, probably Plant wasn't trying to be overly fast because he kind of threw like a lazy slap, like, you know, I'm going to bitch slap you, whatever. But the way Canelo was able to snap into fight mode so quickly like that, and the way he was able to just shoot them two shots off so quickly, and he kind of had his back foot slid back, and he kind of rocked back, and he like, just pulled away, kind of moved his head back and rolled and just slid away and then went boom, boom, left, right, so fast. It just showed me that he's light years ahead of Caleb Plant in terms of boxing skills and just having, you know, this is his boxing brain. I just think he processes things much quicker than Plant, and that's going to show in the fight. So that was kind of a preview to let us know. And then maybe it's much to do about nothing. Maybe I'm overstating it. Maybe I'm embellishing it a little bit. But I was impressed with his reflexes, the way he was able to just flip the switch and be able to put himself into that fight mode and defend himself that way he did.
Well, it sounded like he was already in fight mode. You know what I mean? When he walked up there and he pushes him and he was already in fight mode. I don't think we need to get it wasn't like he just got slapped and then got stunned. I think he was already
I'm not
in
sure
fight
if
mode.
He anticipated that. Like he reacted to that slap within seconds.
Yeah.
Like the way he was able to make him just like, he was like so close to him. He wasn't expecting the shot coming. The way he was able to just ride that shot out and have it barely touch him, it was impressive.
And I tell you, I didn't expect. I'll be honest, man. I didn't expect Plant to hit him either. You know, I didn't expect that.
Yeah,
I expected people, as soon as he got pushed halfway across the stage, I expected people to be in the middle of it. Even went to another level beyond me.
I was hoping Plant was going to come back with something just to make himself known that I'm not a punk and I'm here to fight and I'm not intimidated by this
guy. Was a good move, I thought.
I thought it was a good move.
Yeah. Nacho said something about, and I can't, maybe you know about this or whatever, Nacho says there was a reported statement that Plant and his wife made some statements regarding Canelo not being in Mexico and this is America. I did not see this. I can't. But Nacho is usually pretty spot on with stuff he gives us. So
he said that Canelo is not in Mexico? He's in America, or?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And I didn't read any of this. I don't know.
What's that mean? He's not in Mexico. He's in America. Meaning he lives in America now.
Or? I don't know if they were trying to throw shade at him or try to. You know what I mean? I don't know. But it sounds like it was another thing that irritated Canelo. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, there you go. Let's see here. Manny Pacquiao, Beeb. Manny Pacquiao has said it's over. He called it a career. He is now going to be running for the president of the Philippines, and he is, from what I've read, favored to win. Beeb, this has got to be the most, if he wins this, he's had an incredible career, win or lose. If he pulls this off and becomes the president of the Philippines, like, what kind of rags the richest? You don't get bigger than that, son.
Unprecedented.
You don't get bigger than that. I mean, that's like movie type stuff. You know, that's like that, you know, Disney movie or the stuff that you're like, that could never happen. It might happen. It might happen, man. Insane is just.
What about
insane.
that Duarte? Doesn't he have a tight hold on that?
Duarte is a lot like President Trump, and he doesn't. I mean, he's a lot like Trump is there. So he will try to do everything in his power to not make this happen and everything like that.
Is it going to be hard for Pacquiao to beat him?
My guess is no harder than it was for Biden to beat Trump. You know, I mean, he'll probably have to deal with a lot of aftermath, talking about, you know, oh, he stole the election and, you know, just crybaby stuff. But, all in all, you know, he's, like I said, man, he's favored to win. So
you miss Trump?
Insane. Do I? No. Yeah. 100% no. Do you?
A little bit.
You like funny. Hearing what he said on Twitter every morning and all that other good stuff?
He was funny.
Yeah, he had his moments. I'm better with him gone, though.
Okay.
I would like to see somebody in the Republican Party take a step and at least try to become a leader. Not Trump.
You like Ron DeSantis?
No, I don't really care for Ron DeSantis, but anybody. I mean, I just want to see somebody take over and become a leader here. Get
like
off
Mike
the nonsense.
Pence?
I like Mike Pence. I do. I like Mike Pence a lot.
Would you vote for Mike Pence over Joe Biden?
I might.
Okay.
I might, because you know what? Because he shows real character and he shows real leadership ability. And
like
he
that.
Has shown that he will do the right thing when the right thing is needed. That's what I
Good
like.
Point.
That's
Good
what
point.
We need. And I know Biden will do the right thing. And I know Pence would do the right thing as well. So at that point, it's just a matter of whose politics you like and whose politics you don't and all that other good stuff. But, yeah, I would. I like Pence a lot. I thought he showed a lot, especially in the last few weeks of that presidency. I think he showed a lot.
Yeah.
Joseph Diaz Jr. and Ryan Garcia is set. The winner gets some kind of interim belt, and then it's supposed to be the, I guess, next one for Devin Haney, which is a fight that will not happen. Beeb, do you like this fight?
I do like this fight, but I still would like to see somebody fight Devin Haney. I'm just getting tired of him having to wait, you know, for a big fight. I'd love to see him, and I would have liked to have seen Jojo Diaz and Devin Haney get it on. I thought that would have been a more intriguing fight for me, but I don't know. I think this fight makes more sense for both Ryan Garcia and Jojo Diaz. I think it's a big money fight, and I think because of the styles of both men, I think it suits each other to fight each other as opposed to fighting Devin Haney, because Devin Haney, win, lose, or draw, it's going to be a tough fight. You're not going to look great in that fight, even if you win, which is a big if. But I think that you know, this could be a very exciting, it could be a back and forth type slugfest with Devin Haney. He's not going to give you that. So I think these guys know that they're being put in a favorable style matchup for each other. And I think that's why they're fighting each other, because of that.
But the winner, you believe that the winner, I mean, I believe anyway, that the winner will not get Devin Haney. The winner will be offered Devin Haney.
And they will turn it down.
They will turn it down. They will cite money or whatever they, you know.
Yeah, no one wants to fight Devin Haney.
Devin Haney's a dangerous guy. And I really do, aside from Teofimo Lopez, who's going to move up. Once he moves up, Devin Haney, you gotta think it's the guy in that division. I've said this for a long time that he's the best fighter in that division.
You can make an argument for that.
Yeah. Oscar De La Hoya is back in the news, which is never a good thing. And
never.
Instead of calling out Vitor Belfort, instead of calling
Vitor
out
Belfort.
Vitor Belfort, and I don't blame him, I wouldn't have called out Vitor Belfort either. He calls out Floyd Mayweather and says that he'll fight Floyd Mayweather for $100 million. He's got $100 million to fight
Crazy.
Floyd Mayweather.
Crazy.
Why? What is this?
Floyd Mayweather's people are saying, yeah, if they can come up with $100 million, we will fight him.
They know that he's not going to come up with $100 million. Where would he get $100 million from?
He doesn't have it.
Triller's not going to come up with it. Triller's already wasted a bunch of money. Did you hear they moved the Teofimo fight again from that Monday to October 16th, I believe? You cannot blame Teofimo for that, no. You can blame Triller for wanting to put it on a Monday or a Tuesday, but you can't blame Teofimo for any of this now. This is just bad management. This is just bad everything. This does not look good. Will this be Triller's last big fight? I mean, do you see them coming back with anything, or do you see Golden Boy going to Triller?
I just don't see how anyone could trust Triller after this debacle. You know, I just don't see it. Oscar De La Hoya is crazy enough that he probably could possibly do something with Triller. But I don't know. I just think that they've failed miserably, and I think they need to exit out of boxing because they're doing more harm than good, in my opinion.
You know, they want big, big fights. Golden Boy can't give them big, big fights.
No, they don't have it.
They really don't.
They don't have it.
I mean, they don't. They've got Ryan Garcia. And again, Ryan Garcia is not going to fight. They're not going to put – and the reason Garcia is not going to fight Devin Haney if he wins this fight is, again, it's not because of Garcia. Garcia will fight him tomorrow. Garcia doesn't care. He's not afraid. It's the promotions. It's the promoters. They don't want to put that money on the – he's a cash cow right now.
I don't think they have faith in him either. I don't think they really think that he could beat Devin Haney.
No, I don't think he could beat Devin Haney. I don't think he beats Devin Haney either. And why even risk it? If you're Golden Boy and you're this promoter, their logic is why even risk it? You know, so that fight ain't happening anytime.
And they'd rather do an in-house fight too. So
sure, absolutely. But I'll tell you this: even if Haney was Golden Boy, that fight wouldn't happen.
Maybe not. Yeah, you could be right.
I don't think so.
They want Ryan Garcia to stay undefeated.
Yep. That's it. So there you go. And that, my friends, is the news. And that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at JHabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And we will see you guys next week.